Take our Bibles now and turn to Psalm 19. And we'll read all 14 verses. But our focus this morning is going to be on verses 1 to 6, or this afternoon, 1 to 6. Psalm 19, this is God's holy and inspired word. Please pay careful. Please be alert to it. Psalm 19, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we do again give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks, Lord, that you have not left us as being blind and walking about in darkness. Oh Lord, you have revealed to us your light. You have revealed to us, Lord, your truth. You have given to us your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the light and who is the truth. Lord, as we consider this passage today, help us to see that it is Jesus Christ who is doing all these things in creation, that it has been done through Him. For without Him, nothing was made that was made. And you, Lord, in this passage are declaring that your glory is declared in your creation. Lord, we ask that you would work through the preaching of your word, that hearts would be mended, that hearts would be strengthened and uplifted, that hearts would be convicted of sin where necessary, and that there would be repentance, and that there would be joy found in our Savior. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, ever since man has been on this earth, God has been speaking to him, giving him knowledge of who God is and how he would have him live before the face of God to be in a right relationship with God. Psalm 19 is a declaration of God making his glorious self known to man, both in his works and creation all around us, and in His Word, and through the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. If we did not have the New Testament account of God's creative works and His Word, we might think that this was all very impersonal, that it might be very mechanical, so to speak. We could see the created world, and we could see that there is a power behind it. I mean, even in God, if we had God's Word given to us, we can read it, and we can understand some things. But in both God's works and His Word is a person. As the New Testament expands on both God's works and His Word, we find that the person of God's works and His Word is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is something that God wants us to remember. Psalm 19 tells us how God communicates to us and how He receives communication from us. And we're going to see that in future days, Lord willing. But it's all in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. This psalm neatly divides itself into three sections that represent a dialogue between God and man. And the first two sections are God speaking through His works, through His creation, and through His Word. And the last section is man speaking to God through Christ in His covenant. And so today we're just going to be looking at the first section where we see God speaks to us through Christ's creation. God speaks to us through Christ's creation. That's what we're going to see in verses 1 to 6. And these verses describe the creative work of God to show us His glory. And the words used are very poetic, figurative, and picturesque by design. Because it is in creation that God does not use words, but still declares His glory to all people. This is God's revelation without words. And all His creation speaks to His existence, His power, and His glory. As we read earlier in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18, we saw clearly that the one through whom all these things were created was the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost who were all involved in creation, as we see in Genesis 1:1, where we read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, was hovering over the face of the waters." And then we read in Genesis 1:26, where it says, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." We see this plurality of persons involved in creation. And in the New Testament, we see it even more clarified, Jesus as the agent of creation. Let me just remind you what it says in John chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made." This is speaking about Jesus Christ. All things were made through Jesus, and without Jesus, nothing was made. Verse 10 reiterates that in John chapter 1. "He was in the world, and the world was made through Him." So as we read this account of God's creation, we need to be thinking this is what Christ was doing. It was through Christ that the world was made. And it is through Christ that God's glory is declared and shows the glory of God and shows Him to be there. And it is in Jesus Christ that we see the glory of God. As John 1:14 goes on to tell us, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." We can see the existence and power and might of God in all creation. But we see His grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, who also came to reveal the glory of God. It is through Jesus Christ's creation that God's glory is declared. It is through Jesus Christ in the flesh, who is God and is God's glory. And so even as He created all things, He took on His own creation in the form of a man to declare what? The glory of God. That's what Jesus Christ did. And so as we look at verses 1 to 6, I encourage you to keep Jesus on your mind. To keep Jesus as the person of creation on your mind. David, the writer here, is telling us by God's Spirit, hear with your eyes. Hear and see the glory of God all around you in His creation. And the pictures He uses, you see every day. And that's why it is a challenge to us to wake up in the morning and not be excited to see God's glory still being displayed. Because we see it all around us and we see it every day. Now maybe you'll take a trip somewhere and you'll see something even more fantastic about God's creation. Something you don't see, and you'll walk up to that scene or that place and you'll say, "Wow, isn't that awesome?" But so it is when you walk out this door and you see the blue sky and you see the sun shining, or if it was raining, and you see the green grass, and you experience the seasons and the weather. All these things that are quite common to us still reveal to us God's glory. And we need not to forget that. And that's why coming to the Psalms over and over again, they remind us. They remind us what God has done. They also remind us, because we see these things every day, that God is still working. God is still working in His creation, displaying His glory. Colossians 1, 16 and 17 says, "For by Him," speaking about Jesus again, "all things were created that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist." Jesus Christ was not only the agent of whom creation was made, He is the one who is keeping everything together. He is the one that is keeping everything working together. He is the reason that you can walk out that door and know that this earth is still going to be spinning like it should be, and revolving around the sun like it should be. You're not going to be surprised in the middle of summer and it be ice cold when you walk outside, because Jesus Christ is sustaining all things, and in all things they consist in Him. Every day that you see the heavens, the skies, the earth, and the sun and the moon working together to provide life, they declare to man the glory of God. Even the most common things. So powerful and mighty is God's creation that they speak to us. In these first six verses, we're going to see a progression of revelation as David presents it. We're going to go from a huge and distant display to a more common experience that we have every day, and then to a more particular example of God's glory. And so we're going to go from the heavens to night and day, and then more particularly to the sun. And so as God speaks to us through Christ in His creation, we first are going to see that creation reveals the glory not only of God, but of the living God. Creation reveals the glory of the living God. These things that are being revealed about God's glory did not happen by chance, but by a supreme architect, a supreme design. They happen by design with purposes to fulfill. Creation reveals to us that God, like we talked about this morning about the Holy Spirit, He is not a power or a force. Creation reveals to us that He is a living person, a living God who works. And His work, like that of God the Son, is to reveal His glory. Look at verse 1. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork." The heavens, the creation, all of it was according to God's hand. Again, this is one of those anthropomorphisms where we talk about God having body parts to communicate to us what we can understand. That the work of creation was done by a living God. In verse 1, the heavens speak of the stars, and the firmament speaks of the expanse or the arch or vault over the earth that separates the earthly realm from what is beyond. These things show us God's handiwork. These things that God created out of nothing by the word of His power. It is His work. It is His work because He is living. We do not worship a God who did this, wound up the clock, and let it go. He is actively involved. He is alive and doing, continuing to work throughout creation. This is not what the world believes. And this is part of why we need to read Psalm 19. The predominant view in the world today is an attempt to use creation to explain God away. And so we don't need to be ashamed. We don't need to be hesitant to say, "I believe that God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, created all things." Because the evidence is on our side. The evidence is there. And God says to us, He is showing His glory to us. God speaks through His creation and says without a word, "Look and see My glory." We are to hear that. But with our complex eye, and our eye is very complex, we can see much of the stars at night and the firmament during the day. But even then, we cannot see it all. We cannot see it all. It's interesting if you've ever been to a planetarium experience, like the one at the Creation Science Museum in Kentucky. And you sit in on that planetarium experience, and you are able to see so much more of God's creation through these powerful telescopes. We walk outside at night and we see how beautiful it is. But then through these telescopes we can see how vast all of God's creation is. We see not only our own stars, but stars in other places and planets in other places. But it's also God's glory being declared right out there, right now, in all His works. And notice that the Scriptures which you are placing your trust in for your salvation attributes all these things to the handy work of God. God is working. God worked by the word of His power. God continues to work in keeping creation in the way that He wants it, in the way that it is supposed to operate. It's not by chance. It is by the handiwork of the living God. And from verse 1, David now moves from that great picture of God's work in the heavens to showing us now the effects of those things that they have on the world. And in this we see God's glory revealed. What effects do the heavens and the firmament have on the world? We are talking about the sun, the moon, and the stars here, and other planets in verse 1. How do they cause us to see God's glory in Christ's creation? And what we see in verses 2 to 4, that we see God's glory in the order of Christ's creation, in the orderliness of it, the spinning of the earth on a particular axis, the revolution of the earth around the sun, the sun shining on parts of the earth for day and on the moon for night. This all happens precisely and with precision and reveals God's glory to us. And because it happens that way, and because we know it happens in the handy work of God, we do not fear these things. We do not fear the seasons. We do not fear the times. We do not fear the sun, because we know that they are working in precision to reveal God's glory. The seasons come and go with precise regularity, day after day, night after night, season after season, year after age, year and age after age. Even in this process, we see the handiwork of God. We see the world being maintained by God's own hand. It is a revelation of His glory in the order of things. When the night comes, you see the glory of God. It's not hidden. When the night comes, it brings out the light of the stars. When the seasons change, you see the glory of God in His orderliness as it regulates life in the world, as it regulates plant life and insect life and animal life and human life. All these things God is working together for His glory. One commentator said about this, "Even one day of this type of order is enough to show us the glory and wonder of God." A few years ago, I met with one of my relatives to share the gospel with this person. He was a known, somewhat known atheist. And as we talked and as I shared the gospel with him, he said he had no reason to believe in something that had created the world or someone. As we were sitting there talking, his cell phone was on the table. And I just asked him a simple question. Did you make that cell phone? Obviously, no. Does that cell phone, is it intricate? Is it complex? How many functions can it do? Basically, our cell phones are little computers with a phone app on them. And he began to realize that cell phone could not have just popped out of that table. That someone had to design it. Someone had to make it. Someone had to come up with the technology. And so just from that little conversation alone, he began to realize that this world had to be created by somebody. Now, unfortunately, to this day, he's still in that position that he might admit that there is a God, but he doesn't know that he can be known. But this order is throughout the whole created world. And if people were honest and weren't suppressing the truth, they would know and they would see that the moon or other planets, if they were to get off track of God's path for them, there would be chaos. Immediately. They wouldn't have to get off big time, just a little bit. And things would be thrown into chaos and there would be devastating destruction and death here on earth. The orderliness of the world and how it operates speaks to us of God's glory and of His sovereign power over all things. So we see the glory of God in the fact that by His handiwork all things were created. And by His handiwork all things are sustained and maintained in order. The Scriptures speak to this often. I'll just give you one verse. Genesis 8:22 is one of those that says, "While the earth remains..." And this is something that goes against the world's philosophy. "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease." This is the work of the Lord. This is why we do not have to fear all these current modern day things that are coming up to say the world is going to be destroyed because of man. When the world is destroyed, it will be because of God. But until that time, all these things will come and they will go as He has created them. Now the elements of creation do not speak audibly, but they speak in volumes. They cover the whole earth and to the end of the world. Verse 3 and 4 tells us this: "There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world." What God reveals to man through His creation is revealed to everybody throughout the earth. And there is no place on earth of any speech or language that does not know of God's power and might in His creation. Do you know of anything else that is communicated like that? There is nothing. The fact that God declares His glory to the whole earth brings glory to Him. It is His handiwork, His design, and His power, His character of orderliness. It's all His, and He has done all this in the Lord Jesus Christ. They say creation by chance. And Christ says there's not a chance in the world that this world was created by chance. All things were made through Him, and for Him, and in Him. Thirdly, we see God's glory in the sun of Christ's creations. The sun being the star, the S-U-N sun. He takes up now in verses 4b to 6, the sun as a display of God's glory in creation in the heavens and the firmament. They have been set like a tent. In which times when you don't see the sun is in a figurative sense in that tent. And then the sun comes out. Day after day, the sun comes out. And in this particular part of this psalm, David gives us two figurative pictures of how the sun comes out. First, we see in verses 4b to 5 that the rising of the sun is pictured as a bridegroom who has been secured and resting in his room on the day before his wedding. See, that's how it used to be, that when a guy and a gal were getting ready to get married, that the bridegroom would be in his house, he would be secured in a room, wouldn't be allowed to come out, so that he could not see the bride before the day of the wedding. And so the psalmist is picturing to us here that when the family finally goes to him and says, "Your bride is ready, it's time to come out," he comes out with joy and anticipation. And that's what the sun does when the sun rises. The sun rises every day. We see it coming across the horizon. And the psalmist says here, it's like that young groom on the day of his wedding, with joy and excitement. And we see some of that even in our wedding traditions today. It's a little more mild, it's a little scaled back. But we have that tradition where the groom is not supposed to see the bride on the wedding day. Even, in fact, he has his back turned to her until she comes walking down the aisle. And then he is to turn and to see her for the first time in her wedding gown and to be excited about the path that God has for him and his bride. So it is with the sun. The sun rises like a groom coming out of his chamber, ready, excited to follow the path that God has made for it. The second picture is that of a strong man who is ready to run his race. And when we see the words race in our culture, we probably automatically think that this is a runner with competing against other runners in a race that is set up to run. But this is not the race that we think of in a competition. But for the strong man to come out with strength and ready to be run the race of life, the course that God has planned for him, the strong man is ready for the life that is set before him. And so the sun, which Christ has put into place, rises with strength and anticipation of doing its duty and calling day after day. That is what the sun does. So when you see the sun rising, and when you see it setting, let it speak to you that in this the sun is doing exactly what God has called it to do. And that reveals His glory. Christ not only made the sun, but He gave the sun its instructions. He gave it its path to run. Look at verse 6. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. Christ gave it its time to rise and set as we look at it. And we know that the sun doesn't move, that the earth is moving around the sun and spinning. But as we see it, it appears to us, and so David is writing to us as it appears to us, that the sun is rising and setting and coming across the whole earth, following its path day after day. He not only told it what path to run, He gave it its time to rise and time to set as we see it. He gave it its temperature, its size, and its function to light and warm the earth. This is all of God's handiwork in creation. So particular, so precise is the path of the sun that it covers the whole earth. And this is what the psalmist is saying to us about all of God's creation. That this whole world operates like the sun. In precision, according to God's handiwork. And represents the majesty and order of all creation. Our testimony, the RPCNA testimony, speaks to these things, saying, since all things were created and exist according to the will of God, they are controlled in purpose and duration by the same will. The same will. Revelation 4:11 speaks to this. When the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him, Christ, who was on the throne forever, said, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." Knowing that the creation is God's handiwork should be a call to us to improve upon our worship. To not just say, "Oh, it's another day. Oh, there's the sun. Oh, see the stars." To not be so casual about God's creation that it takes a trip to Colorado to see the Rocky Mountains to be in awe of God. Because the same power that created those mountains is the same power that created what's around us even here today. You may have read just this week of the blog on Gentle Reformation. I don't know if any of you get that through your email or not. But it's something that the RPCNA puts out. And each week there are a couple of articles dealing with current events and Scripture and things like that. Well, this week, Pastor Rich Holdeman of Bloomington is commenting on the 17-year return of the cicadas. I was asking Simon if that's something you all experience here. And I think you do. Now, already in Indiana, they are starting to make themselves known. Here is just a bug. Just a bug. Not a very pretty bug. Kind of gross to some people. But every 17 years, this particular species rises up out of the ground
attaches itself to trees and whatever other structures it can find for the purpose of mating so that it can hatch eggs and so the larva can drop back down into the ground and feed off the tree roots and the sap and live there for 17 more years and come and do that again. They don't get confused and come out every 12 or 10 years. It is like clockwork. It is like clockwork. There's another species that does this every 13 years, and these two species don't get confused and get mixed up with each other. I think in his article he said about every 225 years they actually do come out in the same year. But it's like clockwork. It is with precision, and it is with order. It is like the sun. Why? Because they have been appointed by God to run their race. They have been appointed by God to do exactly what He has called them to do. And these examples that I've given you, and even that are here in the Psalms, are just tips of the iceberg, so to speak, to point us to the wonders and glories of God's creation. This does not even touch all the microorganisms that God has created that we can't even see. And yet they are doing things according to God's plan, according to God's timing, and according to His function. Some of these microorganisms that you cannot see are right here on your bodies, functioning according to God's plan. We do not need to be ashamed to say that we believe in God as our Creator. The evidence is there. And those who deny that suppress the truth. Because God has made known to them, as Paul states in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, 20, where it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and of unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So you need to realize that the evidence is there. It is predominant. It is overwhelming. And those who say, "No, that's not how it happened," are suppressing the truth. The truth that has been made known in them and to them. Because that's what God said He has done. He's shown it to them. And He's made it known. He has put it in them. So do not fear man, but rejoice that you know the God of all creation. Rejoice that you know Jesus Christ, who is the agent of creation, in whom nothing was made, or there wasn't anything made that was made without Him. Rejoice in that. That God has given you eyes to see and ears to hear that which is not spoken audibly. That He has worked in your heart to not suppress the truth, but to receive it. Praise be to God for His mercy towards us. Towards us, His people. That through the Holy Spirit and work of Christ, we who belong to Him have been given those eyes and ears to see and hear. And we can see daily the display of God's glory. And that is to help you improve upon your worship of God. Not only here in the Lord's house when we meet each Lord's Day, but every day that you wake up and see the sun. Every day that you get ready for bed and see that the sun is gone and now the stars are there. Every season that you anticipate spring coming or fall coming or winter coming, give glory to God, for He is revealing to yourself and saying, "I am here. And I am living and working. And I continue to work through my Son, Jesus Christ." It is only by God's grace and mercy towards His elect that we see Christ in creation. And we see Christ, who is God's Word. And so our application today from this psalm is simple. Two things. As I've stated, don't be afraid to say God created this world. Don't be afraid to say that this world is all the evidence you need to know that there is a God. And then also to use it to improve your worship to God, who made all heaven and earth, not only when we come in here, but in your daily life. This psalm calls us to see what God has revealed and to worship Him because of it. This psalm preaches to us the existence and power of God. This psalm preaches to us that Christ, that all things were made in and through Him. Do not be afraid. Proclaim the glory of the Lord as His creation does as well, and improve upon your worship each and every day. He is there. He is the Creator. And He has shown Himself to you. May God use this to help you in those ways, to improve your worship. Those are things we should be thinking about. How can I worship God better? Looking at His creation and seeing His handiwork. May the Lord help us to do it. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we do give You thanks, Lord, for this declaration of Your glory in all of creation. We also give You thanks, Lord, that You have continued to declare Your glory through Christ, through His creation, and through Him coming to earth, the Word becoming flesh, taking on creation Himself in the form of a man. In all these things, Lord, we do see Your glory. We pray, Father, that You would use it in our lives to increase our understanding, to increase our being in awe of You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.